glass stops the UV.
What stops the glass?
Do not turn around until you see light reflected on the hills.
These things are harder than your heart.
30 seconds.
And that's the sound of Oppenheimer, the front runner for Best Picture, and many other trophies at the Academy Awards, which are just around the corner. I'm Richard Roper. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're going to talk about my predictions in the major categories, but also we'll fill out our whole full entire Oscar ballot so you can get mad at me then when you only get 15 out of 23 right because you followed my lead. You didn't win the company pool, but we're going to try to get it right as we do every year. But first, here's your reminder. The Richard Roper Show is brought to you by AmericanEagle.com Studios. The digital landscape is changing rapidly, and to compete in today's online business environment, you need an experienced partner. Since 1995, AmericanEagle.com has partnered with companies of all sizes, offering web design, web development, e-commerce, mobile apps, and digital marketing to drive your overall business's success because they believe that today's online world is your online opportunity. Visit AmericanEagle.com to get started today. AmericanEagle.com. Okay, so it's Oscar week. The Oscars are March 10th. They're starting an hour early. Jimmy Kimmel's hosting. We know in advance it's going to be at least a three-hour show. We know Jimmy's going to do a solid to great job as he has every time he's hosted. We know we'll probably get a couple of comedic bits sprinkled in there. And we also know that some people will say, gosh, this thing's going on forever. We know that someone's going to get up there and probably make a political speech. Someone else is going to lose it. Someone else will probably give some sort of resonant, emotionally impactful acceptance speech. All of that happens pretty much every year at the Oscars. Before we get into the predictions, I just want to say a couple of things. You know, one of the things I do find interesting about this year's Oscars is that there are some categories where we know who's going to win for sure, but when I look at supporting actress, when I look at lead actress, lead actor, there have been a lot of years where we knew who was going to win for sure in those categories, and this year it's up for, I think there's, you know, in both cases, in three cases, I should say, it's really, really close, and I've already filled out my ballot. It, by the way, no matter where you are in the world, if you go to my my home newspaper's website, Chicago Sun-Times, where you can go to suntimes.com, you can, participate in a Q&A I'm going to do, and you can get all the details the Friday before the Oscars, and also enter a contest to beat the critic. Now, if you're not in the Chicago area, you might want to just do it for fun, but if you are in the Chicago area or plan to be here, what we do every year is I fill out my ballot. All the contestants fill out theirs. Whoever has the most correct answers, and most years it's more than I got, right? If there's a tie, they do a random drawing. All the rules are in there. But anyway, what it comes down to is one lucky winner who beats the critic. What we do is somewhere down the road, usually in the late spring or early summer, I host a screening of an advanced screening of a film. You meet me beforehand. We talk about movies. We get some cocktails. I buy all your snacks for you. And then we go into a theater where you've got VIP seating. Last year we did Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So we usually pick, you know, a big, fun, blockbuster type movie. So if you want to do that, go to suntimes.com and you can get all the details on the contest there. But I do want to say a couple of things here. You know, as we head into the home stretch, I'm sure we're going to get some Barbie jokes. Jimmy Kimmel actually did this hilarious short bit with Margot Robbie and what's his name? You know, Ryan Gosling, that guy, Ken. You know, kind of making fun of the whole thing. And we've talked about this now for a couple of months. And I want to say this. I love the fact that in a recent interview, Dame Helen Mirren, Academy Award winner, who of course was the narrator for Barbie, was asked about the, we have to use the word, snubs of director Greta Gerwig and star Margot Robbie snubbed. And she just said, you know, you can't really get upset about things like that. And she went on to point out that it's the highest grossing film in Warner Brothers history. It got a bunch of Oscar nominations. And, you know, everybody's going to be okay. And the only thing I want to say about this is somebody, you know, I loved Barbie. Huge fan of the film. Was greatly amused by the insecure, toxic males who, you know, were all worked up about it and thought Ken didn't get his due. First of all, they're not paying attention to the movie. Also, it's called Barbie. And I think it's amazing that it became this pop culture phenomenon worldwide. $1.44 billion worldwide. It's just also a lot of fun. Yeah, there's social satire, but I mean, it's just a great looking film with neat performances. But, you know, when you say Greta Gerwig deserves a Best Director nod, what you're saying is there's five entrants, right? There's room for five. So which director are you saying shouldn't be in that category? When you look at the list of the directors, you know, I'm not knocking any of them out of there. And the same thing goes for lead actress. If you're saying that Margot Robbie deserves a nomination, who are you taking out? That, what you're saying is somebody else there isn't as deserving. And when people say, yeah, but it's not a competition. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a competition. So when you're saying somebody got snubbed, you're saying somebody else didn't deserve the nomination. So it gets a little tricky there because then, you know, I mean, listen, some people could say, listen, I didn't see this film, so I don't know. If you saw all the movies, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're saying you don't think Annette Bening deserved the nomination for NIAID because that's probably considered the fifth choice in the voting, if you will. I don't know, man. Have you seen the movie? I love what Margot Robbie did in Barbie, but let's not kid ourselves. It's not the heaviest lifting in the world. She's very funny. She's very charming. It does have those little moments where there's some darkness and some existential, you know, longing, if you will. I mean, first when she says, you know, do you ever think about dying? I mean, there's more there than just a frothy pink comedy. But it is not the most challenging role in the world. I think Margot Robbie would tell you that. I mean, I feel the same way about, I mean, I love Ryan Gosling. And I think he has touched, you know, absolutely masterful greatness in some of his roles. But Ken, I get it more when it, you know, when you talk about the production design and the Billie Eilish song and stuff. So I'm not snubbing Barbie, but I don't think it got snubbed either. And it does have a bunch of nominations, by the way. All right, let's go through the major categories. Best Picture is going to be Oppenheimer. I think we all know that now. It's won almost everything for a long time in the buildup to the release of these films, respective films last year. Everybody talked about how it would be a two-film race between Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon. And Killers of the Flower Moon is a great film, but I think it's going to be another, and there's been a few of these films for Martin Scorsese in his career where it gets tons of nominations and only maybe one win, sometimes gets shut out. Oppenheimer's going to win for Best Picture. It's got everything going for it, including momentum. It probably was the best movie of the year. I think it's one of the best movies of the decade. People give me a lot of shit because I said it was one of the best films, maybe the best film of the century. And someone, like, I saw somebody say, well, dude, we're 23, 24 years into the century. How do you know? Well, I think people, you understand, I meant so far. This century so far. I cannot tell you if it's going to be better than all the other movies that are going to come out in the 2070s, all right? But it's a brilliant film. It's also, it checks off all the boxes, you know, for Academy Award wins, historical biopic, important subject matter, great actors playing real life figures. And Christopher Nolan, let's face it, let's celebrate it. Christopher Nolan, for 20 plus years now, has become an event director like Spielberg, like Scorsese, like Greta Gerwig, if you will. You know, there are maybe 20, 25 directors. There are hundreds of great directors, but there are a couple of dozen who are well known as household names beyond the film industry. You know, when they make a movie, people go, oh my God. And that, you know, I remember in the 90s, M. Night Shyamalan, when he did Sixth Sense. And Signs and Unbreakable, and it was on the cover of magazines. You know, he became an event director. Spielberg has been forever. Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, and we're seeing, and with Christopher Nolan, whether it was the Dark Knight films or, you know, going all the way back to Memento, that's where I met, actually, Christopher and his brother. They won the screenwriting award, I believe, for Memento. That was, gosh, that's almost 25 years ago, guys. So it's got all those going for it, critical acclaim, and Oppenheimer made a lot of money, and Hollywood does like to, and the Oscars like to recognize commercial success as well. Best director, hand in hand this time. We've had some other examples in recent years where the director and the picture didn't go hand in hand, but Christopher Nolan's going to win for Oppenheimer. You know, he hasn't won an Oscar. He's been nominated, I think, a total of 5 times, either for writing or directing. So it's his year. It's his time. I think some people think, oh, he already won. He has not yet won an Oscar. He's won almost everything else. This is where it gets kind of, I think, I'm almost backtracking, but I won't do it. I'm sticking with my prediction for Best Actress. Lily Gladstone, it's interesting because I've seen some writings about this, and I don't disagree with this. Some people are saying, you know, that's kind of a supporting role. It's the lead female role, but it's Leonardo DiCaprio has the most screen time for sure in Killers of the Flower Moon. And Lily's amazing. Lily Gladstone's incredible. Every scene she's in, she really just has this quiet grace and power and a sly sense of humor in some of the early scenes. She's off screen for quite a bit of time. And I've seen people say, you know, if they put her up for supporting actress, she would have won for sure. But she's up for Best Actress. And as we learned years and years and years ago, with Anthony Hopkins winning Best Actor for The Silence of the Lambs, even though he was on screen for all of 16 minutes, there are no set guidelines for which performances are up for which category. It's up to the studios and the, you know, the people behind the movies to decide. So like with Silence of the Lambs, they knew that they had something, you know, incredible, and it swept the Oscars way back in the day in the early 90s. You know, but Anthony Hopkins, that was a supporting role. He's on screen, you know, the movie's over 2 hours, so like 10% of the time, but he had such a presence that loomed over even the other scenes. It felt like he and Jodie Foster were co-stars of the movie, but they had just a handful of scenes together. They're incredible scenes. So I still think Lily Gladstone's going to win, but there's a lot of momentum for Emma Stone.
These two are fighting and ideas are banging around in Bella's head and heart like lights in a storm.
Oh. You're always reading now, Bella. You're losing some of your adorable way of speaking.
I'm a changeable feast, as are all of we. Apparently, according to Emerson, disagreed with by Harry.
Come, come, just come.
You were in my son.
What?
And I loved her in Poor Things. It was a much showier, obviously crazy-ass performance. There was a lot of, you know, graphic nudity and sexuality and just batshit crazy dancing. It's, you know, the kind of showy role that definitely attracts the attention of the Academy. But I liked Lily Gladstone's performance better. And we're not talking about my preference here, by the way. We're really talking about my predictions. I think it's going to be close, but I think Lily Gladstone will win. The other thing is Emma Stone has an Oscar already. Lily Gladstone does not. Sometimes that plays into it as well. It definitely does in our next category, Best Actor. I'm still saying it's going to be Paul Giamatti. There's a lot of momentum for Cillian Murphy and his performance as the title character in Oppenheimer. I still think it's going to be Paul Giamatti. You know, it's a great performance by a beloved actor who has been nominated, I think, but never. It's definitely, I know he has not won. And people just love Paul Giamatti, and they love Cillian Murphy too. But, you know, when we talk about this, and we are comparing the apples with the oranges, we know this. But when I look at Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy was great, and Jonathan's his brother, Christopher Nolan, has said, you know, this, he was perfect for the role, and I wouldn't dare argue with the people who made the movie. But I can picture other actors in that role doing a really good job. When I look at Paul Giamatti and The Holders, listen, there are other character actors out there who could take that role, I'm sure, and do something special with it. But it just seems like it's so tailor-made for him. So I think it's going to be Paul Giamatti. I think Divine Joy Randolph wins for The Holdovers. And again, the way she plays off of Giamatti plays, if you haven't seen the movie, he plays a guy who's kind of a horrible human being, although he has some redeeming qualities. But through much of the film, he's kind of an odious character in more ways than one. And Divine Joy Randolph's Mary Lamb is a character, how's that for a movie name, Mary Lamb, who we love and empathize with, and she's been through a lot, and she's sometimes kind of invisible in her community, but she's a strong, powerful, wonderful person. And the fact that she sticks with this guy and is his friend helps us to remain empathetic to him as well. That's a great work right there, great work in that film.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I failed someone who richly deserved it.
Oh, the Osgood kid? Yeah, he was a real asshole. Rich and dumb. Popular combination around here.
It's a plague. And you? You'll be here too?
All by my lonesome. My little sister Peggy and her husband invited me to go visit them in Roxbury, but I feel like it's too soon. Like Curtis will think that I'm abandoning him, you know? This is the last place that my baby and I were together. Not including the bus station.
Well, I look forward to your fine cooking.
Oh, no, no, don't do that. All we've got is whatever's in that walk-in. No new deliveries till January.
Best supporting actor, we know it's going to be Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. Once again, we have a classic Hollywood story. Robert Downey Jr. was a hugely talented, is a hugely talented, but as a young actor, he showed great promise and then he squandered it all away with his personal problems and his addictions. He cleaned himself up. They got him into Iron Man. You know, there was at the time that seemed like strange casting because he's, you think, Iron Man. And of course, he turned out to be, you know, Tony Stark. I thought he should have been nominated for his performance as Tony Stark because he's playing Tony Stark, not Iron Man. Iron Man's the suit. He's the man. Brilliant actor, beloved guy. Has been nominated before, has never won. Hollywood loves a comeback story. He's going to get a standing ovation, and he deserves it all. So that's our five, five categories there. Yeah, those are our five main categories. Why don't we take a break, talk about Portillo's, and then we'll run through the ballot for you. All right, let's talk a little bit about Portillo's. They're known, of course, for their famous Chicago hot dogs with all the freshest and tastiest ingredients, right down to that famous poppy seed bun. Then we have to talk about the legendary chocolate cake. And everybody knows, if you've ever been to Portillo's, but if you don't, you never put the cake in the fridge. You have to have it at room temperature. That's how it's delivered to you or handed to you in the restaurant. That's the way you have to taste it. And of course, the menu has everything from the char-broiled burger to Italian beef, to some really good chopped salads. But oh, that chocolate cake, I'm telling you. Now, there are locations throughout the Midwest and in Florida, California, and Arizona. But you can also ship Portillo's anywhere in the United States of America by ordering at portillos.com. That's P-O-R-T-I-L-L-O-S.com. P-O-R-T-I-L-L-O-S.com. All right, let's run through all 23 categories. My predictions for this year's Oscars. To reiterate, Best Picture, Oppenheimer. Director, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer. Actor in a leading role, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers. Actress in a leading role, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr. will win actor in a supporting role for Oppenheimer. Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers will win in actress in a supporting role. Now, the rest of the categories. I think Anatomy of a Fall is going to win for original screenplay. If you haven't seen that film, check it out. I don't want to give anything away, but it is the type of film where people are talking about what really happened. There's an ending that provides some closure, but maybe not is the real reflection of the events that occurred. I'll just leave it at that. Check it out, Anatomy of a Fall. I think Barbie's going to win for adapted screenplay. That's a way of rewarding Noah Baumbach and, of course, Greta Gerwig, the partners who wrote that. The Boy and the Heron will win animated feature. Animated feature, it'll be The Boy and the Heron. I think Poor Things is going to win for production design. It really does have. It's just an amazing thing to behold because it's this sort of steampunk, surreal world. And even something as kind of relatively simple as a pleasure cruise looks different than ever before. The interiors and of the ship and things like that. Oppenheimer wins for cinematography, incredible visuals, obviously. I think Poor Things again will win for costume design. And again, there's a lot of creativity at work there. So Poor Things for costume design. Editing, it goes to Oppenheimer for sure. Makeup and hairstyling, I think it goes to Maestro, which is kind of interesting because a year ago or some time ago before the movie came out and people were getting the first looks at Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein, some people thought, oh, they went too far with the prosthetics for his nose and this and that. Then if you looked at photos and YouTube videos of the actual real Leonard Bernstein, you realized, wow, that makeup and hairstyling is incredible. So after all the controversy, I think it wins the Academy Award. Oppenheimer wins for sound for sure. The use of sound in that film and the lack of sound sometimes and all of that is just absolutely brilliant. Now, for visual effects, that's a wild card a lot of years. Films that don't get a lot of recognition in other categories will sometimes get nominated and even win for visual effects. I think it's going to be Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. It gets an Oscar finally. It should. So that's one. I'm going a little bit out of on a limb there with that prediction, but you got to with these ballots. You can't just go with the favorites in every single category. There's always going to be a couple of upsets. The score for Oppenheimer will win for sure. It's been winning for everything and should. What Was I Made For? The original song from Barbie will win. I think for documentary, 20 Days in Mariupol will win for documentary. For international feature, The Zone of Interest is my prediction. Also up for an Academy Award in the, whatever you want to call it, the, I don't want to say major, because this is a major category, but for Best Picture, also up for international feature, The Zone of Interest. Again, we've talked about this film. You can get my reviews at suntimes.com, but every time you think that there's no new angle from which to tell the story of World War II, they find one, and this is a chilling film, haunting, brilliantly done, called The Zone of Interest. For animated short, I think you got to go with Letter to a Pig. Letter to a Pig for animated short, documentary short, The Last Repair Shop. And then finally, live action short, The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. There's your Oscar ballot. Good luck to everybody who's going to participate. Oscars are just around the corner. Next time we will be back with reviews of new films, more fresh takes on whatever's happening in the world of entertainment. I'm Richard Roper. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best.